revolve around a general theme, and that theme is forgiveness. Forgiveness. We are the recipients of the greatest gift that the world has ever seen. Forgiveness through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We pray that God would bless us as that forgiveness is ours by grace through faith, and as we live and share in that forgiveness. A couple of words on our service for tonight, our opening hymn, number 907, God Himself is Present. Following that hymn, we'll follow the service of prayer and preaching, page 260 and following. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you for the blessings and benefits that flow from the cross and empty tomb, especially the gift of the forgiveness of sins. Heavenly Father, so often our lives seem to be lacking, seem to be incomplete. Help us to know that in Christ we are full, we are complete, we are your children. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen for us and for the life of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 907.
We follow the order of service of prayer and preaching on page 260. This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth.
Your word is true.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
We continue with the Old Testament canticle on page 261. The Old Testament reading for the 22nd Sunday after Trinity is from Micah chapter 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue singing the introit, as it's found on your bulletin insert.
Yeah.
The epistle is from Philippians chapter 1. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual.
Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. For the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Peter came up and said to Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also, my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the responsory on page 263.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Please stand at this time for catechism and prayer.
You shall have no other gods. You shall not. not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Dear Christian, what will become of you upon the completion of your lifetime? Have you ever thought about that? Maybe you have. Maybe you've already made some arrangements. Maybe you've planned out your funeral, or at least put together a list of hymns that you want sung. Maybe you've even picked out your casket, purchased your gravesite. Maybe you've prepared a will so that your things can be distributed the way that you would like them to be. Maybe you've selected what memorials you want to support with your estate. Have you thought about what will happen at the completion of your life? Will your wishes be followed? Will they sing the hymns that you want at your funeral? Will your things go where you want them to be? Are you certain? Can you be certain? The truth is, you really can't know how that will all work out. The best laid plans sometimes fail. What else do you know about the day that your life comes to its completion? Do you know how that will happen? Will you die of cancer, Parkinson's, heart disease, an accident? You don't really know. Will you die alone or with friends and family surrounding you? You don't really know. Will it happen quickly or slowly, suddenly, or expectedly? You don't know. What will come of you at the completion of your life? And what will happen to your family when you're gone? Will they still get together for Thanksgiving meals? Will they drift apart? Will your children be successful? Will they struggle? You don't really know. Will your spouse be able to move on without you? Will they suffer themselves? What will become of you upon the completion of your life? You don't really know. You can't really know. That's a little frightening. A little scary. We know that there's an end that is coming. We know that one day our life will be complete because we're sinners and sinners must die. That much is clear. But what else do we know? Is there anything beyond that? Is everything just a mystery? We die and that's it? What happens at the completion of our life? What happens then? You might not know any of the answers to any of the questions that I've asked so far, but you do know what happens at the completion of your life. St. Paul alludes to it in the epistle lesson. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Those words carry so much meaning. With those words, all the unknowns about your last day and moment on life get swallowed up by Jesus. By the one certainty that you do have in this world. Hear that certainty again. The good work God began in you, He will bring to completion. In other words, you will be saved. When your life comes to its end, no matter when, no matter how, God will be there. God will take your soul to be with Him, even as your body is laid to rest in an unknown grave. An unknown way with who knows in attendance. There's your certainty. At death, you will be with Jesus, for our Lord brazenly went to the cross, suffered, bled, and died to forgive you all of your sin, every last bit of it. That is true. That is certain. That's what Jesus said from the cross itself. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And when your forgiveness was won, He said, it is finished. It is completed. It is over. They are forgiven. I've purchased it with my blood. And that's not all. The good work God began in you will be brought to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. The one who died on the cross rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and He promises to come back at His own good timing. On the last day, on that day, He will stand at the place where your body lays. And He'll put it back together. He'll reattach body and soul. You will be whole again to live forever with Him in His new creation, the world that is to come forever and ever. Amen. The good work God has begun in you, he will bring to completion in Jesus Christ. That's our certainty. That's what we do know 100% without a doubt. We will raise to live forever. Dear Christian, God already has begun this good work in you. He's begun this good work in the waters of holy baptism, washing away all your sin, claiming you as his own child. God continues that good work by bringing you here to hear his holy, precious word, where that word is, the Holy Spirit is, creating faith, sustaining it within you, keeping it strong in preparation for the day of unknowns. God continues that work within you, feeding you with the body and blood of his own Son, his living, resurrected Son, so that you might have forgiveness, life, and salvation in his name, that you might eat the very food of life. God has begun his work in you through his word, through his sacraments, calling you to be a Christian so that you might have certainty about whose you are, where you belong, and what your end will be. The good work God has begun in you, he will bring to completion. There's so many things we don't know. When we'll die? How we'll die? Why we'll die? What will happen between now and then? Where will our things be? Whose will they be? So much that we don't know, and yet so much that we do know. We are in God's hands. He's working good, creating faith, granting salvation, giving eternal life. He's begun his work in you. He's called you. He's washed you. He's fed you. He's given you his Son, Jesus Christ. You belong to him. He will not forsake you, nor leave you, nor abandon you. God, who has begun a good work in you, will bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. What Paul says is true. And because of that, you now have hope. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This time we continue our service by singing hymn 703, How Can I Thank You, Lord?
Thank you.
in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your worship with us tonight. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. Special welcome to those worshiping with us on the radio. Our service continues and concludes with the prayers of the church, beginning on page 265. Please stand as you're able. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, for all who travel, especially Pastor Doug and Angela Thompson, moving from Sierra Leone and Ghana to Minnesota, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, for all who care for them, especially Sharon, Norma, Jack, and those that we remember in our hearts. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our congregation, that having been washed clean by the waters of holy baptism, we would be kept safe until the time when God calls us home, complete in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
O God, our refuge and strength, the author of all godliness, hear the devout prayers of your church, especially in times of persecution, and grant that what we ask in faith, we may obtain. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me.
Amen.
We sing.
Christ has been raised from the dead. Alleluia, alleluia. Christ, our Lord, has been sacrificed. Raised from the dead, he will never die again.
Bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn, number 940. Holy God, we praise thy name.
Holy God, we praise thy name.
Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who will bring it to completion in the day of our Lord and Savior Jesus. God's great promise that we can cling to today, tomorrow, and forever. If you haven't already done so, I'd encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes for the activities and events that are happening in the days and weeks ahead. Tomorrow's a big day here at Good Shepherd. We have our Thanksgiving dinner for the older members of our congregation, a lot of our shut-ins. This is the only time they're able to be in church and in God's house throughout the entire year. So that'll be going on at noon. We will have a divine service tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock, and everybody is invited to that, of course. It'll tie in and conclude our Thanksgiving meal for the elderly. Because of that, there will be no lifelight tomorrow. No lifelight tomorrow. Now we have Bible study in the fellowship hall. If you haven't done so already, grab one of the devotions for this special time in the church year. This coming Sunday is the last Sunday in the church year. And then following that, we'll begin our new church year with the first Sunday in December with Advent. 2 weeks from tonight, our Advent Wednesday services begin. And be reminded, we will have midweek as always. But be reminded that we have a fellowship meal serving from 5 to 6:15. You're all invited. Church at 6:30 like usual. And that'll begin 2 weeks from tonight. This next Wednesday, we'll have a little bit different schedule as well. Next week, no midweek or confirmation classes. A lot of folks travel for the holidays. A lot of people don't have school next Wednesday. And so rather than fight that, we just called off class. We'll have our Thanksgiving worship at 6:30 next Wednesday, and then also at 9 o'clock on Thanksgiving Day. Services will be basically the same. Wednesday evening, Thursday morning at 9. You can help us pass the word. Pastor, anything else?
It was the acolyte's birthday today, so if you run into the acolyte, wish her a happy birthday.
Was that Ruby?
Ruby, yeah.
Ruby. Yeah, you can wish Ruby a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Ruby. All right, and thanks for giving up your football ticket so Vicar could go to the game. All right. Vicar, anything? Anything? Good. All right. And thanks to everybody that has helped to this point and will help with the major, major project of our Thanksgiving meal tomorrow. A tremendous good work in the sight of God. Have a great day in the Lord Jesus.